Welcome back to Automate Office Work, the podcast for anyone who's tired of doing the same boring tasks over and over again. If you're new here, welcome to the party. I'm Justin. I studied computers and then became a corporate lawyer, and I learned a thing or two about how to automate office work. And now I'm here sharing the map so you can come along too. Today we're talking about something that might surprise you. When people think about automation, they immediately jump to the sexy stuff. AI assistants that can read your mind, machine learning models that predict the future, robots that do everything while you sip margaritas on a beach somewhere. But here's the truth nobody wants to hear. If you're just starting out with automation, you need to forget about all that. Seriously, put it out of your mind. Because the real magic, the stuff that's actually going to change your work life, is hiding in the most boring, mundane, repetitive tasks you do every single day. Today, I'm going to convince you that the simple stuff is where you should start. Not eventually, not after you've tried the fancy tools, right now, from day one. And I'm going to show you exactly why you should focus on the simple stuff first. This podcast is available on all the major platforms, live every Friday on LinkedIn, and then available on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. No matter where you're getting this content, could I ask you to tickle the algorithm and like, subscribe, comment, and share to help us grow and help more people? It's greatly appreciated. Just search for Automate Office Work or go to automateofficework.com and there's a podcast section showing you our 80 plus episodes and links to all the platforms. Now back to the episode. Let me start with a number that might shock you. 80 to 90% of office work is boring, repetitive work. Think about your day for a second. How much of it is actually strategic thinking, creative problem solving, or building relationships? And how much is copying information from one place to another, sending the same email for the 15th time, or hunting down information that someone forgot to send you? If you're like most people, the boring stuff dominates. And there's the kicker. That boring, repetitive work is exactly what you should be automating first. Not because it's exciting, not because it looks impressive on LinkedIn, but because it's eating up 80 to 90% of your time and it's the easiest to fix. Think about Sarah, your typical office worker. She's an executive assistant at a mid-sized company. Every day, people email her requesting conference room bookings. Every single day. And every single email is different. One person writes, "Hey Sarah, need the big room next Tuesday." Another sends a formal request with every detail. A third person sends a meeting invite without asking first, then emails to confirm it's okay. It's chaos. Sarah spends 2 hours every day just managing these emails, reading them, figuring out what they're actually asking for, going back and forth to get missing information, checking the calendar, confirming the booking, sending a confirmation email. 2 hours every day. That's 10 hours a week, 40 hours a month, almost 500 hours a year, doing the exact same thing over and over again. Now you might be thinking, okay, so just use AI to read the emails and book the rooms automatically. And that's exactly the trap that beginners fall into. They reach for the rocket when they should be learning to walk. Here's why jumping straight to AI is a mistake. AI doesn't fix broken processes. It just automates broken processes faster. Let's go back to Sarah. If we gave her an AI tool that could read those emails and extract booking requests, what would happen? Well, the AI would have to deal with the same chaos she does. Vague requests, missing information, conflicting formats. The AI might be able to handle some of it, but it's probabilistic. It's making educated guesses. And when it guesses wrong, Sarah still has to step in and fix it. Except now she's also dealing with the AI's mistakes on top of everything else. She's gone from managing chaos to managing chaos plus unpredictable automation. That's not progress. That's just expensive chaos. The real problem isn't that Sarah doesn't have AI. The problem is that her process is broken. People are sending random emails because there's no structure, no standard, no clear way to make a request. And you can't automate your way out of a broken process. You have to fix the process first. This is the foundational principle of good automation. Organization before technology. Before you automate anything, you need to understand what you're actually doing. What are the steps? What information do you need? What decisions need to be made? What's the output? Let's redesign Sarah's conference room booking process the right way. First, we ask, what information do we actually need to book a conference room? We need a date, a start time, end time, number of attendees, equipment needed, like a projector, a whiteboard, video conferencing, catering requirements, meeting organizer contact info. That's it. 7 pieces of information. If Sarah has all 7, she can book the room in 2 minutes. The problem is, she never gets all 7 pieces of information at once. She's constantly going back and forth, asking follow-up questions, playing email tag. So here's the simplest possible automation. Create a clear process. Instead of email Sarah with your request, the process becomes fill out the conference room request form on the company intranet. That's it. Not AI, not machine learning, not a sophisticated workflow engine, just a form. A simple, boring form with 7 fields. And suddenly, Sarah's life changes. Because now, when someone wants to book a room, they have to provide all the information up front. No more back and forth. No more hunting for details. No more emails that just say, need a room next week. The form doesn't even have to be digital at first. It could be a Word document template. It could be a shared spreadsheet. The technology doesn't matter. What matters is that you've created structure. You've taken chaos and turned it into process. And that's what makes automation possible. Once you have a process, you can start layering in automation, but you do it incrementally, step by step. Let's continue with Sarah's example. Step 1 was creating the form. Now people fill out a Word document and email it to her. That's already better than random emails, because at least she has all the information. But she's still receiving these forms as email attachments. She still has to open them, read them, and manually check the calendar. Step 2 is moving to Microsoft Forms or Google Forms. Same 7 questions, but now it's a web form. When someone submits it, the response goes into a spreadsheet automatically. Sarah's workflow is now open the spreadsheet, look at the newest request, check the calendar, book the room, send a confirmation email. Still manual, but more organized. The information is in one place. She can see all pending requests at a glance. It's faster. Step 3 is where we bring in real automation. Microsoft Power Automate, Zapier, or a similar tool. Now when someone submits the form, Power Automate can automatically check if the request room is available at that time. If it's available, create the calendar event. Send a confirmation email to the requester. Add a row to Sarah's tracking spreadsheet. If it's not available, send an email suggesting alternative times. Sarah doesn't touch any of this. It just happens. What's her role now? She reviews the bookings once a day to make sure everything looks reasonable. She handles edge cases, like when someone needs to book a room outside normal business hours. She manages relationships with difficult stakeholders who have special requests. But the boring, repetitive work, the 90%, is completely automated. She's gone from spending 2 hours a day on conference room bookings to spending 10 minutes. And notice, we didn't use AI. We didn't use machine learning. We didn't need a fancy, expensive tool. We just created a clear process and used basic automation to execute it. There's something beautiful about simple automation that complex AI solutions can't match. It's deterministic. When someone fills out that form and submits it, the automation runs the exact same way every time. If the room is available, it books it. If it's not, it suggests alternatives. No guesswork, no probabilistic outputs, no, well, the AI thought you meant. It either works or it doesn't. And when it works perfectly, every single time. This is crucial for building trust. When you're introducing automation to an organization, people are skeptical. They're worried about losing control. They're worried about mistakes. If your first automation project involves AI making judgment calls, and it makes a few mistakes, people lose faith. They go back to doing things manually because the automation can't be trusted. But if your first project is a simple form that books conference rooms flawlessly every single time, people love it. They see the value immediately. They start asking, what else can we automate? You build momentum. You build credibility. You build a culture that embraces automation. And you do it with all the boring, simple stuff. Now let's talk about that other 10%, the high-value work, the strategic decisions, the relationship management. When you automate the 90% of boring work, something interesting happens. You finally have time to focus on the 10% that actually matters. Sarah isn't spending 2 hours a day managing conference room emails anymore. What's she doing with those 2 hours? She's proactively solving problems before they become emergencies. She's building relationships with executives so they trust her judgment. She's looking at patterns in room usage and suggesting better ways to allocate space. She's doing work that actually makes a difference. And here's the thing. Even that 10% can be improved with the right approach. Let's say part of Sarah's job is reviewing contracts for the company. Not legal approval, that's for the lawyers, but administrative review, making sure all the standard pieces are in place before it goes to legal. She needs to check. Is there a limitation of liability clause? Is there a termination clause? Are the payment terms specified? Is the jurisdiction clause present? This is skilled work. It requires judgment. But it's also tedious because she's reading dozens of contracts a month looking for the same things. Here's the wrong way to automate this. AI, read this contract and tell me if it's good. That's too vague, too subjective. The AI doesn't know what good means in your specific context. It'll give you generic advice that may or may not apply to your situation. Here's the right way. Map out exactly what you need. Create a checklist. Break it down into specific, answerable questions. Is a limitation of liability clause present? Yes or no? Is a termination clause present? Yes or no? Are payment terms specified? Yes or no? Is the jurisdiction clause present? Yes or no? If yes to jurisdiction, which jurisdiction is specified? Extract the text. Now you have something concrete. You're not asking the AI for judgment. You're asking it to find specific things in a document and answer specific questions. This is where AI shines, not in replacing your judgment, but in handling the tedious data extraction and pattern matching that makes your job possible. You review the AI's checklist answers in 30 seconds instead of reading a 40-page contract for 20 minutes looking for 5 specific clauses. But notice, you only get here after you've mapped out the process, after you've defined exactly what you need, after you've organized the work. The AI isn't replacing the process. It's just making one step of an already well-defined process faster. We talk a lot on this show about how technology should serve humans, not replace them. That's why I'm so excited to share that I've partnered with Aira. Aira, A-I-R-A, is an AI-powered customer communication tool that actually aligns with the values we discuss here at Automate Office Work. And here's the best part. Aira doesn't write your emails for you. It doesn't hunt down cold leads to spam people. Instead, it focuses on the most valuable asset you already have, your existing relationships. It removes the drudgery of tracking so you can focus on the joy of connecting. I saw the need for this in my own life. I don't need thousands of new contacts. I need to stay close to the thousands of amazing people I already know. I used to run a complex manual system tracking when I last spoke to a partner and setting alerts for when to reach out again. It was a commitment to make sure my relationships didn't just fade away into the noise. Aira takes that intention and gives it superpowers. It connects to your contacts and sends you reports when their companies show up in the news. It gives you the signal, the important life events and business updates, so when you do reach out, you're genuinely informed about what matters to them. It's available now in 14 countries across Europe for €149 a month. It's AI done right, handling the admin so you can be more human. If you want to support this show and strengthen your own network, head to get.aira.app/automate. Using that link helps support my work here, and I truly believe it will help you lead a more intentional, connected professional life. Now let's get back to the show. I want you to think about AI like a rocket. Rockets are incredible. They can take you to the moon. They can launch satellites into orbit. They can do things that no other vehicle can do. But you don't use a rocket to go from your couch to the kitchen. That would be absurd. It's overkill. It's expensive. It's dangerous. And it doesn't even work better than just walking. For going to the kitchen, you walk. For going to the corner store, you ride a bike. For going across the country, you take a plane. For going to the moon, you use a rocket. The right tool for the right job. The same principle applies to automation. For organizing information that's currently scattered across emails, you use a form. For automatically filing that information, you use a simple workflow tool. For extracting specific data from documents, you use AI. Each tool has its place. Each tool is the right choice for certain problems and the wrong choice for others. The mistake beginners make is starting with the rocket. They see AI doing amazing things in demos and think, I need that for everything. But most of your problems don't need a rocket. They need a bicycle. They need a good pair of shoes. They need simple, reliable, deterministic automation that does the same thing the same way every time. Let's dig deeper into this because it's important. Traditional programming is deterministic. You write code that says, if the room is available, book it. If it's not available, send an alternative. That code will execute exactly the same way every single time. It's predictable. It's reliable. AI is probabilistic. You give it a task, and it makes its best guess at what you want. Sometimes it's right. Sometimes it's close. Sometimes it completely misunderstands. That doesn't mean AI is bad. It means AI is a different kind of tool with different strengths and weaknesses. AI is fantastic when you need to handle unstructured data, recognize patterns, make judgments based on examples, or deal with ambiguity. Traditional automation is fantastic when you have a clear process, structured data, and need consistent, reliable execution. Most office work falls into that second category. Think about your daily tasks. Filing documents in the right folders, sending status update emails, creating reports from database queries, scheduling meetings based on availability, updating spreadsheets with new data. None of these need AI. They need clear processes and simple automation. But here's what people don't realize. By automating all of that simple stuff first, you create the perfect environment for AI to add value later. Because now your data is structured. Your processes are clear. You know exactly what inputs you have and what outputs you need. That's when AI becomes powerful. When you can say, I have this structured data and I need you to classify it into these specific categories, or I have this document and I need you to extract these specific fields. But if you skip the organization and process steps and jump straight to AI, you're just automating chaos. Let me give you another example that illustrates this perfectly. A procurement department at a large company, they were drowning in purchase requests. Every department in the company would send them requests for everything from office supplies to major equipment purchases. The requests came in every format imaginable: emails, phone calls, Slack messages, post-it notes stuck to someone's desk, and each request was missing different pieces of information. The procurement team was spending 80% of their time just gathering basic information. What exactly do you need? What's the budget code? Who's the approver? When do you need it? Do you have a preferred vendor? It was driving them crazy. And their first instinct was, can we use AI to read all these different requests and extract the information? No, not yet. First, we created a simple intake form, just like Sarah's conference room form, but for purchase requests. There were 10 fields: item description, quantity, estimated cost, budget cost, department, requester contact, approver name, required delivery date, preferred vendor, if any, and justification, if over a certain amount. We made it a company policy. If you want to buy something, you fill out the form. No form? No purchase. Resistance? Sure, a little bit at first. But once people realized they actually got their stuff faster, because the procurement team didn't have to spend a week chasing down information, the resistance disappeared. Step two, we automated the approval workflow. When someone submitted a form, the system automatically routed it to the right approver based on the amount and department. The approver got an email with all the details and could approve or reject with one click. Step three, for approved requests under a certain amount, the system automatically generated a purchase order and sent it to the vendor. The procurement team went from spending 80% of their time gathering information to spending their time on what actually required their expertise: vendor negotiations, finding cost savings, managing supplier relationships, and handling complex purchases. The simple stuff was completely automated, and it didn't require AI. It just required a clear process and basic workflow automation. Only after the procurement team had this foundation in place did we start talking about AI. because now we had structured data, clear processes, defined workflows, and there were specific places where AI could add value. For example, the justification field for expensive purchases. This was a free text. People would write anything from "we need this" to three-paragraph essays about why the purchase aligned with corporate strategy. The procurement manager had to read all of these and assess whether the justification was adequate for the amount being spent. This is a perfect use case for AI. We trained an AI model on historical justifications that had been approved or rejected. Then we used it to flag potentially weak justifications for the manager's review. The AI wasn't making the decision. The manager still had final approval, but instead of reading 100 justifications a week, the manager could focus on the 20 that the AI flagged as potentially insufficient. Another use case, vendor invoice matching. When an invoice came in, someone had to match it to the purchase order and verify that the amount, items, and quantities matched. For simple invoices with clear line items, this was straightforward. But for complex invoices with hundreds of line items or invoices where the vendor described items differently than the purchase order, it was tedious and error-prone. We used AI to do the initial matching. It would extract line items from the PDF invoice, match them to the purchase order, flag any discrepancies, and calculate the confidence level of each match. For high-confidence matches, the systems process them automatically. For low-confidence matches, it flagged them for human review. This is AI used correctly, handling specific, well-defined tasks within a larger, well-structured process. Not AI, please manage our procurement, but AI, please match these line items and flag discrepancies. Narrow, specific, measurable. Here's the fundamental mindset shift I want you to make. Stop thinking about automation as a technology problem. Start thinking about it as a process problem. The question isn't what automation tool should I use? The question is, what's the process I'm trying to improve? Once you understand the process, the technology choices become obvious. If the problem is people are sending me unstructured requests, the solution is a form, not AI. If the problem is I have to manually route these requests to different people based on criteria, the solution is a simple workflow automation, not AI. If the problem is I have to extract specific information from unstructured documents, then yes, AI might be the right tool. But you only get there by understanding the process first. Let me give you a framework for thinking about this. Level 0, chaos. No defined process. Work happens ad hoc. Everyone does things their own way. Level 1. Documented process. You write down the steps, you create templates, you establish standards. No automation yet, but at least there's clarity. Level 2, structured process. You use forms, checklists, and templates to enforce the process. People can't skip steps because the structure guides them. Level 3, simple automation. You automate the mechanical steps, data entry, filing, notifications, routing, the boring stuff that happens the same way every time. Level 4, intelligent automation. You add AI for pattern recognition, data extraction, and classification within your structured process. Most organizations are at level 0 or level 1. They jump straight to trying level 4 because it's exciting, and they fail miserably because they skipped the foundation. You have to build level by level. You can't skip steps. So how do you actually start? How do you identify which boring, repetitive tasks to automate first? Here's a simple exercise I recommend. For 1 week, track your time. Every time you do something that takes more than 5 minutes, write it down. What did you do? How long did it take? How often do you do it? At the end of the week, look for patterns. You're looking for tasks that are repetitive. You do them at least weekly. Time-consuming. They take significant time each time. Rule-based. There's a clear process you follow. And low judgment. They don't require complex decision-making. These are your low-hanging fruit. Maybe it's reformatting data from one system to match another system's format. Maybe it's sending weekly status reports. Maybe it's creating monthly reports by copying data from 5 different sources into a template. Pick the task that scores highest on all 4 criteria and start there. Don't try to automate everything at once. Don't start with the most complex task because it's the most interesting. Start with the simplest, most repetitive task that takes up the most time. Win the easy battle first. build confidence, build momentum. Here's something else that happens when you start automating simple tasks. They compound. Let's say you automate one task that saves you 30 minutes a week. That's nice. 2 hours a month. 24 hours a year. Then you automate another task. Another 30 minutes a week saved. Then another. And another. After automating 10 simple tasks, you've saved 5 hours a week. That's an entire workday. Suddenly you have a full day every week to focus on high-value work, or to automate more tasks, or to finally tackle that project you've been putting off for months. And it keeps compounding, because now you have time to think strategically about your work. You start seeing more opportunities for improvement. You start redesigning processes instead of just surviving them. The simple automations create space for bigger improvements. Let me share some common mistakes I see people make when they start automating. Mistake one, starting with the most complex task. They want to prove automation can handle the hard stuff. But complex tasks are complex for a reason. They require judgment, handle exceptions, deal with ambiguity. Start with simple tasks and build up. Mistake two, automating broken processes. They automate exactly what they're doing now, even though what they're doing now is inefficient. Fix the process first, then automate it. Mistake three, over-engineering solutions. They build elaborate systems with every possible feature when a simple form would have solved the problem. Keep it simple. Mistake four, not involving the users. They build automation without talking to the people who will actually use it. Then they wonder why no one uses it. Get feedback early and often. Mistake five, giving up after the first failure. Their first automation attempt doesn't work perfectly, so they decide automation isn't for them. Every automation project teaches you something. Iterate. The real goal isn't to automate a few tasks. It's to build a culture where everyone is constantly looking for ways to work smarter. When you start with simple automation and it works, people notice. They start asking questions. Could we automate this too? Why are we still doing this manually? What if we tried? You go from one person automating their work to a whole team thinking about process improvement. And that's when the real transformation happens. Because the best automation doesn't come from consultants or IT departments. They come from the people doing the work every day. The people who intimately understand the pain points and inefficiencies. When you empower them with simple automation tools and a mindset of continuous improvement, they'll find opportunities you never would have thought of. So here's what I want you to do after listening to this episode. This week, track your time. Write down every task that takes more than 5 minutes. Be honest about how much time you're spending on repetitive work. Next week, identify your top three most repetitive, time-consuming, rule-based tasks. Pick the simplest one to start with. Week three, map out the process for that one task. What are the inputs? What are the steps? What's the output? Write it down. Week four, implement the simplest possible improvement. Maybe it's just a template. Maybe it's a form. Maybe it's a checklist. Don't build anything complex yet. Just create structure. Week five, measure the impact. Did it save time? Did it reduce errors? Did it make the work less frustrating? If yes, great. Do it again with task number two. If no, figure out why and iterate. Start small, start simple. Start with the boring stuff, because that's where the real magic happens. If you've made it this far, you're probably getting benefit from what I have to share. You might even be thinking about sharing this with colleagues or having a conversation with your team. If you're feeling generous and would like to give back to support me in my efforts, you can do so at buymeacoffee.com/automateoffice. Donations can be one-time or recurring in any amount that you would like, and show me that you appreciate the content I provide. Before my final thoughts, I'd like to invite you to connect with me. You can find me on LinkedIn, Justin Turman, T-U-R-M-A-N, lawyer, coder, and linguist, currently living in Amsterdam. You can also send me an email at justin@automateofficework.com or go to automateofficework.com and book a call with me. I'd like to hear from you. Do you have suggestions for future shows? Perhaps you want to come on as a guest and talk about where you are in the automation journey. I offer consulting services. I want to leave you with this thought. The most successful automation isn't the most sophisticated. It's the automation that actually gets used, that actually saves time, that actually makes work better. And 9 times out of 10, that's going to be simple, boring, repetitive task automation. Not because it's flashy, not because it's impressive, but because it works. It's reliable. It's predictable. It builds trust. It creates space for higher value work. And yes, eventually you might get to the point where AI makes sense for specific tasks within your well-organized processes. But you have to earn that. You have to build the foundation first. So embrace the boring work. Love the repetitive tasks because they're not obstacles to automation. They're opportunities. And when you start treating them that way, when you start seeing every mundane task as a chance to work smarter, that's when your work life really changes. That's when you go from drowning in busy work to actually having time for the work that matters. Start with the simple stuff. Start today. Thanks for listening to Automate Office Work. If you found this episode helpful, share it with someone who's drowning in repetitive work. Let's help more people work smarter, not harder. Until next time, happy automating.